This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yesterday's friends, this Giants mess, we can look at it any which way you want. I don't know that it's changing anytime soon, and a lot of it has to do with the head coach. It is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin. Instagram, TikTok, that guy Carlin. And also, the video stream returns tonight on ESPN 98.7's Twitter feed and, of course, on ESPN New York's Facebook page. I'm getting more frustrated by the day with, frankly, the loser talk that is coming from the head coach of the Giants. We're talking a lot about process. We're talking a lot about, I told you from day one. No, 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 no. That's not what this was. It's absolutely absurd to suggest that that's what this was. And now we are once again changing to the narrative. And what's frustrating to me the most about Joe Judge is there does seem to be, as Don put it earlier, a condescension in how he speaks, but more of a, you guys don't understand what you're talking about, and I do. Listen to Joe Judge yesterday. Again, it eerily similar to what we heard last week and where this whole thing is headed.
Well, I'm the head coach. Everything in the program reflects on me, Jordan. I don't ever shy away from that. I don't make excuses, and I don't hide from that either. I'm not a finger pointer. I'm an excuse maker. I'm never going to try and deflect anything, okay? In terms of the direction the program's going, look, there's a lot of things I see week after week with our players and where we're going that I'm encouraged in a lot of ways, and sometimes that's tough to see externally. But there's some key foundational pieces that are being put in place, and there's a lot of things we're making progress on pushing forward. You know, my scope's always big picture. I told the team a second ago, I look every week, week to week. I'm very conscious of what's going on around the league, where we are within standings. But ultimately, my vision goes beyond that. Okay, I'm looking long-term for a lot of things. I talk about the first time I ever got in front of a microphone in front of you guys. I talk about putting the foundation together and pushing it and building it the right way. I've never talked about taking a shortcut or wanting immediate gratification. Now, we got to put a product on the field that everyone's proud of. I've said that a million times as well. I got to shy from that. We got to put guys out there. We got to put them in the right position. We got to execute plays. We got to keep on finishing games. We got to have success. I'm not going to shy away from that either. It's production business. But in terms of the big scope of where we're going, you know, internally, you can see a lot of pieces being put together and a lot of things within direction, the culture and the foundation of the program that I've been fortunate enough to know what it's supposed to look like. And I can see a direction it's going and I can see the foundation being poured and solidified and we're going to get in the right direction.
What is any of that even mean? You are going back and forth on this. And the first thing that really should alarm you is when he calls it a program at the beginning, which means he is thinking of this in terms of a college football team. This is the pros. This is the NFL. This is where you're not supposed to be learning on the job. It's where you understand the job, you do the job, you know how to prepare, you know how to get yourself ready, and you know how to do things the right way. So when you hear the head coach talk about all that stuff, what the hell have we been doing? What's been going on for the last couple of years? It's absolutely absurd. Joe Judge has to go. And the idea that he is staying is frustrating because this is a poorly coached team. It truly is. There weren't as many penalties yesterday. Good for you. I know that you don't have your starting quarterback in there, and we'll get to whether or not you're even going to see him again this year a little bit later in the show. But what happens here is truly maddening. On so many fronts. So he's going to talk in one breath about the process, about how we're getting better, about what I'm seeing behind the scenes. But I'm not ignorant. I'm not ignorant to results. I understand Buck stops here. No, it doesn't. Buck doesn't stop here. You fired Jason Garrett. Buck doesn't stop here. You fired Mark Colombo last year. Buck doesn't stop here. The finger does point. The finger does point. You may be looking at yourself and trying to figure out how to evaluate it too, but the finger does point in other directions. You just don't point it at the players at all because you're afraid to lose the locker room. I understand that mentality, but the mentality that this coach has and the results that they have not gotten tells me everything I need to know. This is not a team with a salary cap that is reflective of a rebuilding team. Look at the Jets. Look at what they've done the last couple of years. Joe Douglas asked for a 6-year contract because he knew it was a disaster. And he knew the cap was a mess from McCagnon, from Le'Veon Bell, from C.J. Mosley, from all that. And he knew it was going to take a lot of time. And what happened? It took time to get out from under the cap problems. They did. Last year and this year, cap room to work with. That was a rebuild, and we all knew it. Nobody came into this season with the thought that they were going to go win. Nobody did. Nobody did. With the Giants, that's not what we were sold. We were sold the Giants were going to go win. So what's frustrating to me is when you see that and you hear the coach talk about process and building blocks and all that, you are in total cover your ass mode. Cover your ass mode. Period. That's what it is. And we know that. We know that. And then you have the owner who earlier this year basically indicated that he was going to give a lot more time to Joe Judge because he felt like maybe he pulled the plug too soon on Ben McAdoo. Let me ask you something. Does anybody in their right minds feel like if the Giants had kept Ben McAdoo, things would have been different? Because he's a first-time coach. Does anybody think it would have been different? Ben McAdoo's barely in the league right now. Like, I got to go and double check where he is. He's a consultant for the Cowboy. A consultant. You know what that is? Just another voice. There you go. Ty Butler filling me in. I didn't even remember where he was. Pat Shurmur's with the Broncos now. Does anybody think, even though he wasn't a first-time head coach, that you were going to be better off keeping him? Can we just admit that maybe we've made some bad hires here and agree that it's actually time to get out sooner rather than later so you can get closer to fixing the problem and just admit to everybody what we're dealing with here? We're dealing with a situation that is untenable and is not getting better next year. Your Dave Gettleman will be gone. You will bring in a new GM. The head coach will stay. And a year from now, the head coach will go. That's how it goes. We know it. How many times have we seen it? How many times? I mean, come on. Come on. John Mara, don't stick to what you think is the right thing to do because you need to have patience. John wants to win as much as anybody else. And I know that people really have had a lot of trouble with him as the owner the last several years. I'm telling you, he wants to get it right more than anybody. Okay? The losing kills him too. You can't ever knock him for being cheap. All you can knock him for is hiring the wrong guys. That's what's happened so far. This is not Dan Snyder. It's not Jerry Jones. He lets people do their jobs. They just haven't done them well the last few years because he's hired the wrong people. So go figure out how to hire the right people. Go figure out who the coach has to be. Figure out who the GM has to be first. And get everybody on the same page. Don't prolong the inevitable. You think I'm alone? I'm not. There's plenty of others who think so, and you're going to hear from some next. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Carlin, with you, the lines are open right now. Please explain to me how things are getting better anytime soon, because I do not know. Is this a complete house clean, or do you actually still have a belief in Joe Judge. Later, we're going to ask the question, is this a rebuild or not? Are you going to clarify what this situation is? Because it doesn't seem like anybody wants to admit anything. And then, when are we going to see the quarterback again? There's been an awful lot of vague talk about where he is right now with his neck injury. And I know you don't like to speculate on injuries, but none of this makes you feel good about that. And it also makes you think, okay, he's injured. We still don't have an answer. There is so much there to get into tonight.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Is this a complete teardown? And do you have faith in Joe Judge? Do you have faith? Here's Steve in Jersey to start us off tonight. Steve, what's up? You're on 98.7 ESPN, buddy.
Oh, my God, Chris. Look at everything that's been going on the past couple of weeks. They're getting ready to hand this organization over to Joe Douglas, to the Giant coach. They fired the offensive coordinator who the family loves. They got rid of his coach. Now they're talking about this isn't his team. And the Mavericks love him. They're going to make him the head of the organization.
Steve, I can't argue with what you're saying right now, and it's frustrating. And when I look at how they are handling this, I'm afraid that they're just doing it because they think that patience in this case is uber important. Well, no. Patience is, in this case, is not uber important when you know that you don't have the right guy. When you know that they're not.
And they've done this before. With McAdoo, right? They put McAdoo on.
McAdoo was only 2 years. McAdoo was only 2 years.
Right,
so
but they brought him on to be the next coach under Coughlin. When he came on, they basically gave him the job.
You gotta go easy there because he did go to the playoffs the first year, but then the next year they didn't, and they bailed on him.
I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but it looks like the way he was talking today, it's a program. This is what we're going to do. That wasn't what it was supposed to be. He was supposed to be in the playoffs this year. They're ready to hand him the keys.
The call. Thanks for checking in. But you're right in that it is troubling that it would seem that he is going to be the kingmaker to a degree. And you know how this is going to go. This is going to look like how it looked with Adam Gase. He got his guy to be the GM, and then his guy was smart enough to understand that Adam Gase wasn't the guy. You know, and look, Joe Judge isn't as bad of a coach as Adam Gase, but, I mean, the results are just not there. So if we are going to pay attention to the results themselves, why is it that we have to pay more attention to what the process is?
You know, I expect the players to fight through these last games of the season, the way they fought to finish the game today. That's what I expect to see. I expect to see them come to work. I expect them to be positive. I expect them to be good teammates. I expect them to take coaching. I expect them to make plays on the field. And as coaches, I expect guys to have the best plan prepared for their team, for their players, and put in a position to be successful. We're going to finish everything, guys. That's what we're going to do. We ain't going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to stop fighting. So I say all the time, when we watch the tape, the result and the scores are relevant. You're going to correct what you have to correct. You're going to build on what was positive. All right? At this point in the season, we have important games coming up. They're all important. All right? Game 1 through 17, they're all important. So we're going to take advantage of every opportunity that we get as a team. Because the reality is you work the entire year around for truly 17 Sundays. It used to be 16, right? 17. And you have to earn the right to have extra Sundays beyond that. But you can't go and shortchange and think, oh, what are we doing now? Okay? We're getting stronger as a team. We're going to keep on pushing forward. Our focus is to be the best team every week we can be and be an improved team every week. That's where our focus is.
That is Nuke Rockne and Red Bull. That's what it is. He's just a faster talker. And I guess our definition of important games, and I know every game's important, our definition of important games has changed. I'm so tired of where across all sports now, we change where the bar is, where you're supposed to be graded. Now our definition of important games is just, you know, any game we have. You know, let's call it what it is. You're 4-9. It's the middle of December. This is not why you were hired. This is not why they maxed out the salary cap. None of that is the case. Rodney's in the car phone up next. Rodney, what's going on? are in the car.
What's up, Chris? How's it going, man?
I'm good, Ronnie. How are you, bud?
I'm terrible. These stupid Giants are ruining my Sundays. Why? Like, do you ever think one thing? Do you think the owner Mara will be at the end of the year evaluate Joe Judge and say, you know what? All your talk is not doing anything for us. You need to go. And they could just start from scratch and just tear it down. And because it's like you got all these good, you know, so-called skilled wide receivers and whatever, running backs, but you can't do anything because the offensive line is terrible. It's ridiculous. They have to get rid of this guy.
Look.
Hire a new GM. Like, I don't understand this. Like, you want to go back another 5 years to, like, find another quarterback, and there's no good quarterbacks coming out the draft either? So
but
what do you do? Unless
they
get Russell and Wilson next year.
I mean,
but what
listen,
do you do then?
Be,
how do you protect
him? Rodney, if we're going to be honest about this, and you're going to keep Joe Judge under the premise of we need to be more patient with this guy, well, we already know that you're hiring a new general manager. So are you telling me then that we need to be more patient with this guy, that he's going to be the coach beyond next year? You're telling me we're going to keep him for the next 2 years? Because
it doesn't make any
otherwise
sense.
We are delaying the inevitable.
Of course. Get rid of him. It's like, what are you going to do? If you, like, let's say we trade for Wilson when the season's over. If he wants to leave Seattle, what are you going to give up? Like three first round picks? And then, like, how are you going to protect him? You have nobody to protect him. It doesn't make any sense.
I'd love to know how they're going to fit him in the salary cap right now. Thanks for the call. I'd love to know how they're going to fit him in the salary cap. I mean, I'm sure they'll find a way. I'm sure the Seahawks will end up paying a lot of the money if they do that. But if they're giving up three first-round picks to go get Russell Wilson, does anybody think that right now the situation the Giants are in is infinitely better offensively than where the Seahawks are? Is it? I don't think so. I don't really think so. You want to talk about being healthy? That's fine, man. When does Kenny Galladay have healthy ever in his career? And you handed him, what, 30-some million dollars? Doug's out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Douglas, what's cooking
tonight? Hey, buddy, you know who I am, but I'm in Pittsburgh right now. Listen, I just don't...
Oh, okay.
You know,
hey, Doug, what's going on?
Show,
it's Doug from Long Island.
Yeah. All right. Yes, sir. Chris, I love the show. And let me tell you, I keep on saying this to you, and I always want to give you a little kudos amidst all this insanity. I love the way you engage your audience, and that's why you're so damn popular, and I love it. Keep it up.
Appreciate
but
that.
I'm just saying to people that are on the outside looking in, and I know people in basketball who, for whatever reason, wouldn't come here or what have you, and I know coaches. I know Billy. I know Kenny. I know guys. But, I mean, we're talking football on the Giants. I don't know if you remove a guy after year one, unless he's got a ton of talent, and you're protecting and you're not protecting the quarterback. Do you do that? And look at the precedent you set.
But it's not year one; it's year two. It's after year two.
Okay, it's year two. You're right. I'm sorry.
No,
but what I'm saying is, look at the precedent you're setting. Other people are watching, and there are other good, bright young coaches and college guys that might be good. Do you want to go there unless they give you a boatload of money? Because you know, and I've heard it with basketball guys, and I'm talking superstar players. I don't know if I want to go there. Not so much the Jim Dolan or the management, but they're like my family will be eviscerated if I have a bad half year. So you want to, if you're going to come here, you're going to get a boatload of money because you know you may get a five-year deal, but you might only have 2 years. I'm not sure. I don't have all the answers. I'm just throwing that out on the table. Do you give a guy another year and let him know he knows he's on it? The guy
Look,
knows.
Doug, there's no question, and thanks for the call, that you worry about perception. There's no question that you worry about perception. But what you also have to worry about is results. And it's not necessarily about becoming such a reactionary organization. Trust me, it's the last thing they want to be. They don't want to be that, but sometimes it's for the best. Sometimes admitting that the mistake was made is for the best. That's all there is to it. And look, you can keep going back and forth and say, what if the next guy's not the guy? What if the next guy's not the guy? That's fine. If you're admitting to keeping Judge right now because you want to be patient, you need to basically acknowledge that you want to keep him beyond that, right? because does anybody believe that next year they're going to be any good? Based on what we're seeing right now, is this going to be a whole lot better? I mean, look, if you got Russell Wilson, they obviously would be a better team, but are they all of a sudden a playoff team? Riddle me that one, because I can't make the case that that's definitively going to happen. I don't know. First of all, Sterling Shepard's been a waste of money in so many ways. You know, the offense, Evan Engram, okay, he's not going to be back. Is Kenny Golladay going to stay healthy and stay on the field? Saquon Barkley started to look a little better yesterday when it really didn't matter the most. Great. Against a team that's second to last in the league against the run and was up, you know, by 30. Am I supposed to get upset or get fired up for that? That really doesn't do anything for me. So across the board here, I'm looking at this and I just don't see where this is all going to get better. If you want to be patient, that's fine. Come out and tell us next year, we are hiring a new coach. We are hiring a new GM. And this is not happening tomorrow, folks. We are not winning tomorrow. We are not winning in 2 years. Understand what this is going to take. We tried it one way to get back to the postseason, and admittedly, here we are. It didn't work. How do you think that would actually be taken? I think there would be so much respect that would be given to John Mara that if he came out and held a news conference and said, look, here's where we are, and we're here because we didn't hire the right people, unfortunately. He's not going to come out and rip the guys that he fired, but he's going to say, we have not gotten it done because it starts with me, and I have not put us in the place to be successful. In other words, I have not hired the right people. So we are in a messy, messy situation right now. And we need you to be, and I hate the word because it's a four-letter word in this town, patient. With the Giants for the last 10 years, there will be fans that will scream and yell and say, you know, we have been nothing but patient. You know, I'm sure there'll be plenty of those. But smarter Giant fans will understand where they are, what it's going to take to get back, and they'll respect the honesty. They'll respect the honesty from ownership.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Ralph Vacchiano of SNY. Ralph Vacchiano of SNY reporting tonight that, in fact, Joe Judge is going to be safe after this season and will return for the Giants. That is Ralph Vacchiano from SNY reporting that Joe Judge will, in fact, return for next year. 800-919-3776. A couple of tweets coming in. Let's get some of those out of the way. At Chris Carlin over on Twitter. Rex is an entertainer, plain and simple. He isn't coaching again. He lost all his juice, put his tail between his legs after criticizing Saleh. I understand that, but here's the thing. Sometimes Rex is not wrong in what he's saying. So whatever his history is, and whatever you look at in the past, it doesn't take away from his football knowledge. And what he's saying right now is accurate. Troy Johnson, a.k.a. Sugar Bear Troy, checking in. Joe Judge is a con man. I see how he talked himself into that Giants job. Joe Judge is a hustle guy. No matter the polish, he is a con man. Oh, boy. I mean, listen, this is frustrating to know that this is not changing anytime soon, because there's no doubt that even though they are not going to make a change for the sake of being more patient, that a change absolutely needs to be made. Back to the phones. Let's go. Alan, Morristown, New Jersey is next on 98.7 ESPN. Alan, are you in a wind tunnel?
No, I'm not. I'm in my car. I apologize. But
that's okay.
But I just want to say I think Joe Judge is closer to being gone than anybody would accept. I'm not so sure. I was shocked when I heard this news that the owners had confidence in him. I don't believe they really have confidence in him. And look, Rex can be he can be boisterous and bellicose, and he's not always right. But he's right about this. The man lacks personality, and he lacks engagement with his players on the field when the game is being played. And I don't think either of those characteristics are very conducive to really having a winning team.
If your players are not connecting with you, and that's all happening, then yeah, you can't be conducive to all of that happening.
He does not motivate any of them. And also, look, Daniel Jones is not an elite quarterback. It's unfortunate. He's certainly a nice guy, but he's not going to lead the Giants to the promised land. It's unfortunate, but it's true, and I think we all have to take cognizance of it. Well, and I would make one other point. Galladay is a great receiver, but he can't carry the load. And all of the Giants receivers, they promised they would have great receivers this year. And I think they have good receivers. They're B players. But I don't think they have outstanding receivers. And I think that's been a huge factor as well. And no line. You know, this is the 10th year where we just don't have an offensive line. I'm a Giants fan. I love the Giants. What are they going to do about that line? It's just ridiculous.
They need to draft another tackle, thanks for the call. I mean, it's so easy to see where Nate Solder gets beaten so badly. The interior of the line is not nearly as good as it was supposed to be. Will Hernandez hasn't panned out. Frankly, they have one position that has worked so far. Andrew Thomas has panned out thus far. Other than that, it hasn't. And you said Kenny Galladay is a great receiver. Is he, though? Is he? Can he be considered great if you can't stay on the field? I don't think you can. I don't think those two things, like, go together. Randy in Westport next, 98.7 ESPN. Randy, what's up, dude?
Hey, Chris, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bud.
You know, I don't know why, but it seems that the Maras are untouchable when it comes to criticism.
Well, they own the team. That's why they're untouchable.
I know, but you know, but somebody has to take control of the organization that's not a Mara in order to turn this around. Because unless John Mara finally says, I'm stepping down and I'm turning over the reins to a professional football person, frankly, nothing is going to change. And you just heard it. They're going to keep Joe Judge. And I don't know necessarily if that's good or bad after 2 years. It's probably not the worst thing.
Randy, I would like to remind you that with John Mara owning the team and being in charge, you have won 2 Super Bowls. That has happened. You realize that.
I don't know what his role was, but that was
already. He was running the organization. He runs the team. He doesn't make personnel decisions. He does let his people do their jobs. He does agree or disagree on certain things. I do think that he absolutely played a role in Eli trying to win another championship for Eli Manning while he still had him. But other than that, John Mara lets his guys do their jobs.
Nobody's doing the job.
He hired the wrong people. That's where your argument is, Randy. Thanks for the call. The owner is not changing. These are not the Wilpons, guys. You got to get that through your heads, okay? This is not the Wilpons. You're frustrated with the fact that it hasn't worked and they've hired the wrong people. I'm absolutely confident that he feels exactly the same way. And yet, right now, what he is thinking is that if I cut loose to coach right now again after 2 years. I'm going to be right back here again, and we're going to be that organization. And I don't want to have for us to have that reputation. Well, the way to not have that reputation is to hire the right people in the first place. Joe Judge is, let's just call it what it is. He is another Belichick assistant that never worked. That's what it is. That's okay. Sorry, Joe, didn't work here. They spent money. The players didn't respond. But it wasn't just that the players weren't good enough. They were poorly coached. How many guys that have worked for Belichick have actually worked out? Like two. And one of them's the greatest college coach of all time in Nick Saban. How many guys have come out of that tree? About 15, it feels like. You get the point. Joe's not the guy. But this does not have to do with the Maras being bad owners. It has to do with the Maras actually just hiring the wrong people. They're as frustrated by that as can be. They truly are. I guarantee you that. But it's not like they're selling the team. Nobody's stepping in and taking the team away from them. That's absurd talk. And you have won championships with them in charge. They've hired the right people before. Like, for those that want to give all the credit to the fact that, it was a George Young thing. Well, they did hire Ernie Accorsi after that. And they did hire Jerry Reese after that. And they did hire Tom Coughlin. Now is a new time. You need to get out of your comfort zone.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It has been an ugly, 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 ugly stretch for the New York Knicks. Ugly, ugly.
Bing bong.
Not anymore, bro. Uh-uh. It is getting disastrous. 12-15. Remember the Knicks started 5-1? Wasn't that cool? They're only 7-14 since. I'll tell you, I've got a bad feeling that there's some bad juju around this situation right now. And there's a lot of different ways to look at this. But to me, the primary thing to realize is simply this. Julius Randle's the problem. He's not the solution. Let me repeat that for those who didn't hear it. Julius Randle is the problem. Julius Randle is not the solution. Look, the way they are presently constituted, things have just not worked out well with the new players. We know this with Kemba Walker, and frankly, we know this with Evan Fournier, who I think has been a little bit disappointing. But when I look at what Fournier is doing, and I look at the fact that Kemba Walker's not even on the team, basically. He can't get off the bench in a blowout. And then I look at Randle. I tend to point at Randle more. Because while the numbers may be there, it's not like Julius Randle is going out there and leading this team and playing lights out every single night. You know, I tend to look at what's gone on this month. And really, since the beginning of November, he has not played all that well. He's got two 30-point games since the beginning of November. But the real problem is the flow of the offense, of which there is none. There is none whatsoever. And so with that being the case, how do we fix that? Well, Julius Randle's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. But as we talked about at length, he is not a number one. And yet he speaks as if there's no problem right now whatsoever. Not worried about anything. Nope, we're going to get this righted. What is there to be concerned about? All that. Like, this team is not gelling particularly well. And if you can't find new ways to play, if you're a guy like Randle and you just got the contract you did, I really wonder if you need to start to think about what the future is going to be and if it involves him. Because I have contended all along when the Knicks are ready to win, really win, Randall's got to be a guy that is an ancillary piece, meaning third scorer or less. Not primary superstar, as he is right now. I think Julius Randle, the way he's playing at the moment, is hurting more than helping. Not because of whatever the numbers are, not because he scored 8 points yesterday, but because the offense has absolutely zero flow, and he's the reason why that is the case. Please explain to me how it's not. When you are that kind of player, and you need the ball in your hands that much to be in any kind of offensive flow, like, that's a real issue. You could be that guy last year because there was really nobody else. They haven't truly fixed the point guard situation at all. And even if they had, how is Randall going to react to that? Like, he wants to be dishing out assists. He wants to be making great passes. He wants to be rebounding. Like, he wants to be the triple-double guy, and that's cool. That's cool. But you ain't Russell Westbrook, brother. You're not. And this team is not good enough to be able to sustain any kind of real success if you're going to want to play this way and not be able to adapt to any other way. Last year was great. He was great. They gave him the contract they did. He didn't necessarily, you know, break the bank, so to speak. There are times this year where you look at him, you wonder, are you really into this? You really into what's going on here? Because there does not seem to be a lot of urgency. Now, I don't expect Julius Randle to come out and be this boisterous leader all of a sudden and completely change his personality. No, that's not him. But what he is a very good player on a team right now that is not very good, but he's only very good under the circumstances that he needs, and that's to have the ball all the time. Got to figure this out. Well, there's an interesting development. Sham Sharania, and at some point I will get his name right, and it bugs me that I screw it up. I believe it's Shams Charania, I believe, from The Athletic, reported that the Knicks are one of the teams that is interested in a Ben Simmons trade. And now the Sixers, as we know, are still looking for multiple first rounders and star players in return. I have to tell you, like, as down on Ben Simmons as I have been all along for his absurd level of play, and not level of play, his absurd attitude, is it the worst idea in the world right now? Because I have to believe that if you're Tom Thibodeau right now, and you see a guy of that skill set available, and you're going to say, all right, we need to get Randall, we need to get Barrett. And like, I'm not giving the house for Simmons. I'm not giving Barrett and Toppin and five first-round picks and all that. But I'd look at some things here that might be able to work. Like, if you wanted to tell me Randall and one other good, you know, if you wanted to go Randall and if you want to go Randall and Barrett and two first-round picks or three first-round picks, I'd certainly talk about that. I'd talk about it. As absurd as that might seem to you, just get that Simmons does have a ridiculous amount of skill in many areas, including one that the head coach really feels very, very strongly about. And that is, he is an elite defender. An elite defender, in addition to everything he does about spreading the ball around. He will get to the rim. He will rebound. We know what the shortcomings are. but is he going to improve a Knicks team? Are the Knicks better right now with Ben Simmons than Julius Randle and RJ Barrett? Yeah, they probably are, believe it or not. Although, as much as I don't want to see them give up RJ, this is not a Dame Lillard situation. I am not the biggest Simmons fan, but for what they aspire to be, it is not the worst idea in the world. 800-919-3776. When you heard that the Knicks are interested in Ben Simmons, what was your immediate reaction? That's what I want to know. 800-919-ESPN later in the show. We will check back in on the Giants. Jordan Ronan later this hour explaining why Joe Judge is returning. At least it seems that way. And look, we'll get more into that and why that's not the right thing. And yes, I know that when Ben Simmons is on the court and he actually does want to take a shot, we're looking at this, you know.
All right.
Exactly.
Rain dance.
It's not happening. But they're better. They're better if you kick around that trade at least. 800-919-3776. Yeah, I really, just to take you behind the curtain a little bit right there, kind of lost my train of thought in the middle of what I was saying, which is you obviously avid listeners understand happens quite often, and it's part of my charm. I honestly believe that.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We begin with Rich. He is in the car. What's going on, Rich? How are you, bud?
Hey, my friend. How's it going? Great show. Enjoying it on the ride home from work. I just came out of a basketball game. I'm coaching freshman basketball. And,
did you win?
And it kind of reminds me of the Knicks. Just no identity. I just can't get them to do much. But on the Knicks, and we're talking about Randle. He had such a magical year last year, and he's obviously, that magic has worn out tremendously. If we can get somehow a way to get Simmons through Randle, I don't know how Philadelphia feels about that. How can we get rid of Randle and bring back Ben Simmons would be pretty challenging.
Yeah, I think the other problem is that I don't think the Sixers want to be trading Ben Simmons to the Knicks and see him all the time. That's also part of it. They're going to pay a tax on that. The Sixers seem more than content to let this take some time and really just figure out exactly what the best course of action for them is going to be. And they seem willing to allow this to continue to go into the end of the year. But to me, there's no doubt that he would improve them. It's just, what does this look like? The first-round picks, guys, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers other people, okay? But the question is whether or not the Sixers would want Julius Randle, because we have to start there. It can't start with it cannot start with Barrett and Toppin, because we know the Knicks don't want to do that.
Yeah, neither do I. I definitely would like to see Toppin, flourish, and he's been flourishing. It's that he's parked right behind Randle, and if Randle's on the team, you're never going to see Toppin's true capabilities. So if ever could be a chance to move Randle and let Toppin get in there, and if with Simmons running the show, I think that we'd be in much, much, much better shape.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. You have to ask yourself this question. The Sixers with Tobias Harris, Randle, Embiid, are they any closer to winning a championship? That's what they're going to be asking themselves, and that's going to be a tough sell. Yeah, they'll love the fact of having first-round picks, but are they going to be close? They are right in the window of trying to win a title, and this whole situation with Simmons has really played out to the point where he's not a championship player. He's not going to win you a title in that city the way things are. He's handled himself so poorly. And eventually he'll run himself out of here too. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't even think that he'd be part of a championship team with the Knicks, but at least at the moment, it would depend on what else was going to be around him and who else could carry the pressure of being the star player here. Jim in Old Bridge. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, big fan of the show. Usually love most of the things you say, but that trade proposal is just preposterous.
Why is that?
Let's be clear, Jim.
Let's start here. I don't want to necessarily do it. Do I want to do it? No. I would start to look at it to see what's going to make me a better team. And when I'm talking about Barrett and three first round picks, do I want to do that? Of course not. But I need to do something that's going to improve the chemistry of this team.
Well, you're starting off with the theory that Randall wants to have the ball in his hands all the time. You think Thibodeau is going to let him do whatever it is that he wants to do? He's doing that right now because there's no one else on the team to do it. He's doing it by default because he's the best they have right now.
But they admit this. They had offensive flow last year with that being the case. This year it's a lot different. They don't.
Well, I mean, they didn't really have offensive flow. They were, what, 26th or 27th in the league offensively? They were hardly an offensive juggernaut. What kept them in the game was they were so good defensively, and they kind of broke up that chemistry when they let the guard, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now.
Reggie Bullock?
They let Bullock go, and that's kind of thrown off a lot of their defensive intensity. Bringing in those two guys, the free agents they brought in, that's really messed with the entire chemistry of the team defensively. They don't have the same defensive intensity that they had, and that was the entire makeup of their team. They were no good offensively last year. They're no good offensively this year, and now they're not good defensively either.
Well, let's be clear on a couple of things. When you say that they were no good offensively last year, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily fair when it comes to shooting the basketball. I mean, they shot 46 for the season. Was that amazing? No. Was it atrocious? It was not atrocious. They were an outstanding defensive team. There is no getting around that. You're right. That's where their bread was buttered. But they were not a team that was awful last year. They just didn't have great scorers when you needed a big bucket. And we saw that in the playoffs because when Randall was shut down, they didn't have other options. My point is simply this, okay? If you're looking at Randall right now, you can't tell me that the Knicks are better off with him than with Simmons. The problem is what else you're taking away.
Now, if you want to do Simmons straight up for Randall, I'd do that trade.
Well, Randall,
three first-round draft picks. Barrett, I think Barrett has a great future. If you put him with a great point guard that can pick and roll, and I just don't see – I wouldn't get rid of him.
It's not get rid of him, and thanks for the call, Joe. You got to understand what we're discussing here. Is it ideal? It's not. Is it something I have to talk about and start discussing and work ways around? Yes. I would love to have Randall here – or rather, I would love to have Barrett here with Simmons. Because, I mean, if you're going to talk about running the pick and roll, I think that would work, don't you? Yeah, I think it would. You have to give yourself a real opportunity at this. And the point about the Knicks is simply this. They're not very good right now. They're not very good. They're 12-15, and this can get away from you pretty quick. Let me ask you this question. At 12-15, do you think that is changing anytime soon? And do you think that with Kemba Walker on the bench, not playing at all, and Evan Fournier not really being a factor so far, Do you think that the coach is going to get a little ornery here? Because I've already heard a couple of times from a few different places, like, you know he didn't want Kemba here. He didn't want Fournier here. You know, those guys are not going to defend. You've already heard that a little bit. So I wonder if you're going to have real dissension's not the word, but disagreement behind the scenes. I think that's definitely possible. Because, you know, who were the driving forces between bringing the other guys here? Leon and or Wes. And if you read some of the profiles about Wes so far and the stories about the Knicks front office so far, Wes is pretty passionate. And that's a good thing. But is this going to end up leading somewhere that is, well, not so good? I kind of have a feeling it might.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.